You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Scott Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. All I can say is, Skalk, wow, what a day on the JSE. And just before you weigh in, because I can hear you champing at the bit, you're so enthusiastic. This morning, the S&P futures were down about 0.7%, and yet the JSE was up 0.7%. I said, who's getting it wrong? And I came to the conclusion that sometimes South Africa gets it right and the S&P futures get it wrong. And that's exactly what has happened. What on earth happened today? Obviously, apart from the massive Richemont, Kumba Iron Ore, Sasol moves. I mean, it's a broad-based rally going on here.
Yeah, this is exciting. I mean, if you ask anyone this morning prior to JSE futures opening up, I think that was about 8:30. I think if you ask anybody, what to expect on the JSE today, I think very little would have said that we're going to be expecting a green day, and not just a green day. Hey, it sounds like a song. Anyway, but not just a green day. I mean, we're talking about a day that, we've seen the JSE, go up 1.63%. It's been a fabulous day. Fabulous, fabulous day. Yeah, we do see a bit of a reaction from the US after last night's, moves. But, I mean, very similar. I mean, Lindsay, we had exactly the same type of day last Monday, where we also had a very uncomfortable US and a market that not just opened up positive for South Africa, but also had a massive, massive movement. Last week we talked about the rotations, the possible rotations. Last time we've seen these type of movements was that let's call it that mid period 2000s, where we had we had that commodity boom, different environment. We didn't have COVID. We had more things like wars, terrorist attacks, those type of things. Still uncomfortable environment, but very similar. But there was a massive migration from the US towards more value oriented stocks. And that brings me back, last week I talked about the report that I've written, the outlook on 2022, where I look at all these different investment houses, large investment houses, what their outlook, are for the globe, or the equities, economic growth, inflation, interest rates, all those things. And I sort of found the golden thread. And there was a few things that stood out for me personally. Things like Morgan Stanley. I mean, everybody knows Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley's strategists, they think that the S&P 500 index could decline 5% in totality in 2022. Now, surprise, surprise, we are here. And I think, we're starting to feel that. Where they say, well, They do see with the interest rate cycle, with a lot of these emerging market countries, or so let's call it non-developed countries, will start the interest rate cycle a little bit earlier. So they would hike a little bit earlier. Then we will, in the latter part of 2022, see the ECB, the Reserve Bank of Australia, those reserve banks, coming forward, they starting to raise interest rates, and then eventually they see the US. But more importantly, a lot of these emerging markets, South Africa included, which started their interest rate hike already, they will be ahead in the interest rate hike. So that could be good. I just don't know why we're seeing it now. The answer could be found in something like BNP Paribas. They had a nice view where they said the wide valuation gap between value and growth stocks and the prospect of higher interest rates suggest upside is ahead. And then Vanguard, they said for U.S. investors, the modest return outlook believes opportunities for those investing broadly outside of the home market. They didn't see locally. They see the opportunities outside the home market and think that value stocks is still more attractive than growth stocks. In South Africa, we know it's a value orientated. We've got the Sasols, as you mentioned. We've got a lot of these materials, which is in value territory. So long-winded way of answering, just saying that we could see a bit of a rotation here. And I think that's why we're seeing not just South Africa, but countries that's sort of in value territory sort of being a bit of ahead of the curve.
Yeah, we don't have those growth. We don't have those tech stocks anymore, do we? We don't have the Dimension Datas and those sort of stocks that work, which characterize growth stocks, because there's no new companies coming to the JSE. What we've got is good companies, small, medium, and large cap companies, but most of them are established companies and are very much in the field of growth. Not all of them, but some of them are. And we've seen that come to the fore today, and we'll come to the big movers on the JSE today. Let's get a couple of things out of the way if we can. And that is economic data, 3.3% rise in retail sales year on year and 5.9% increase in inflation, which obviously means that at the next Reserve Bank meeting, there will be another interest rate rise, don't you think?
Well, so is that a surprise, Lindsay? I mean,
no.
do we see that? That is a surprise. So this morning in the morning meeting, you know, my team and I, we actually, you know, discussed this. You know, what do we expect? What do we foresee the reaction will be, and you know, I say, well, personally, I'm just going to look at, you know, how far are we going to be from that 6% level, because naturally we know the Reserve Bank has still got that mandate to focus on keeping the inflation rate between the 3% and 6% mark, and then secondary, you know, if it's over, you know, how much, to what extent it's actually over. Again, why this is not a surprise, you know, when we look at the Reserve Bank's November meeting, they actually came out, the governor actually made it very, very clear when he said the implied policy rate path of the QPM, now QPM stands for quarterly projected model.
Oh, that's a new one.
Yeah, it's a model they follow to see, you know, what, you know, more is projected. Where do they see, and what do they see inflation, interest rates do in the current environment? But they said the implied policy rate path of the QPM indicates an increase of 25 basis points in the fourth quarter of 2021. Now, we know that happened already, November 2021. And further increases and in each quarter of 2022, 2023 and 2024. Now it continues to say that the QPM is just a guideline and that they use this to adjust interest rates and not interest rates. But what he's basically telling us is you know, we should be expecting interest rates, you know, every quarter, you know, for the next 3 years. So, you know, regardless of what inflation did today, you know, we would have seen interest rate, you know, most probably move up another quarter of a percentage this quarter. So I don't foresee that as a 5.9. The inflation rate is. I wouldn't say that is great news. Naturally, you know, we would have liked to see, you know, him hit the forecast at, you know, 5.8. So already it's a miss. But we know that 5.9, firstly, is still below 6%, and most importantly,
yes,
is again below U.S. inflation,
which is 7%.
Follows the rank.
7% for South Africa, 7% for the United States, 5.9% for South Africa, and 5.4% for the United Kingdom. So we're in the middle between these. Obviously, the economies are vastly different in the way that they earn their money, the way they spend their money. But on the other hand, yeah, because of the lack of demand in the economy, we're in the middle. We're in the rump, if you like, Skulk.
Yeah, I think it's important for listeners to know what we're talking about, because usually there's, you know, we focus so highly on these inflation. People think, you know, inflation is very important for interest rates, which definitely is. But also, you know, I follow inflation and specifically inflation differentials. Now, there's another word, inflation differentials. So let's say, you know, Lindsay is country A and I'm country B. And Lindsay's inflation rate came out at 3%.
No, it's unlikely.
My inflation. Yeah, you
it's highly unlikely. But anyway, this, for the purposes of this example,
I know for a fact there's no way you'll be 3%. But
Thank you very much, Scott.
As an example. 3%, and I came out at 5%. So effectively, our inflation differential is 2%. So effectively, by looking at our inflation rate differentials, Lindsay's currency should improve by 2%, and mine should decrease compared to Lindsay by 2%. We know this is now the sixth or the seventh month in a row where the South African inflation rate came out below the US inflation rate. Again, that is, this is now over half a year where we came out every month we come out lower than the US inflation rate. Yet over this period, our currency is still, you know, weaker. And we're still looking at the dollar index, which still remain. I think the dollar index at current levels is still pretty much resilient. I don't think that the dollar index is really taking much of a pounding. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit softer today, but 95.52 is still a lot stronger than what the dollar index was trading, you know, earlier last year. Earlier last year, it was trading, and I think it was trading below 90 levels. Yet it's still better, despite the fact that its inflation rate is higher than most countries out there. Yes, the South African rand did improve today, but I still foresee if this continues for let's call it the next 3 to 6 months, don't be surprised, despite anything happening in South Africa, don't be surprised if the South African rand improve further against the US dollar.
Let's hope so. Well, I think let's hope so. Yes, of course, because it means that we're not importing inflation anymore, which is great, because if the oil price keeps on going, then we need that rand to get stronger to equalize the inflation equation out somewhat. Scott, let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service. BHP Billiton came out with an operational update. Huge, well, BHP Group PLC, I should say, these days. BHP 3.25% higher. And I was looking at a graph of the resources index. Goodness me, it's doing well. The JSE resources index. Richemont was up about 7% at one stage, closed up 5%. People buying luxury stuff. That's what they're doing,
yeah.
Scott. They're buying stuff.
I mean, this is great. I mean, they mentioned it's strong demand for jewelry and watches in the Americas and Europe in the post-pandemic rebound helped quarterly sales at Cartier owned by Richemont. So people are buying fancy watches while they're sitting locked up at home because clearly they can't buy anything else. But I mean, most important, when we look at this quarter, this quarter which ended 31st of December, they're looking at a performance which is 38% better over this quarter compared, and we're not going to compare it to 2020, 38% better than the quarter ended 2019. That's pre-pandemic levels, which they've now beaten. So clearly they've dug in. I mean, we know the whole strategy and the focus over the past, you know, few years for Richemont was more focused towards the east. They've did a few acquisitions which more focused on Chinese exposure and deliverance of the luxury goods, and clearly it's paying off. I mean, if you see this type of growth, man oh man, what a day for Richemont. Not cheap anymore. I would caution all listeners out there that, I mean, this is great news and definitely one of our darlings, one of our best companies that we started, a company, Old Grimbro or Rupert Company. So you know, lovely to see, but be cautious. I mean, this is a company that's trading at very high multiples, and I'm holding the stock, but I'm definitely not overweight anymore.
You're not adding it anymore, no. I'm just looking actually. I don't wear a watch, and I've never worn a watch. I've occasionally flirted with the idea, but never because it irritates me. But if I had to have a watch, it would be the Cartier Tank. It's very discreet, very nice. We're just with the black band. It's a single, it's a little rectangle. The one I'm looking at here on the Cartier website, which is owned by Richemont, €6,200, which isn't outrageous. It's not outrageous. Some watches are in 100, 150, 250,000 euros. But the Cartier tank's okay. 6,200. What is that times 20? That's
120,000 rand.
Yeah.
No, 120,000 rand.
Well, maybe I'll put it off to another year, but you don't strike me as a luxury goods man, by the way. You don't strike me as a bloke that goes out and buys Cartiers.
No. I'm a boy kid from Belleville. You remember? I mean, we like I don't want to say fast cars, fast women, but because then my wife is definitely going to kick my knees in. But No. I'm not big on you know, fancy watches. I'm also one of these guys these days that's checking my steps and my heartbeat and stuff. But I'm actually looking at the Cartier tank now. I could actually really, I can see you in this little black band number.
Let's move on to the spot for
us. I can see you in one of these.
Okay, well, that's nice. Go. I'll buy a vintage. I'll get one from eBay or something like that. There's some bargains to be had. Okay, let's have a look at these spot prices. The dollar rand, 15.34, which is essentially unchanged on the day. British pound against the rand, 20.91. Euro rand, 17.40. Euro dollar, 113.45, which is a 0.5% rally for the US dollar and weakening for the euro. What else have we got here? The gold price. You know what, Skalk? Actually, before I give you the gold price, which has vaulted its way 1% higher today, I was looking at a graph today, and there's been lower highs and higher lows on the gold price. So it's sort of forming a wedge, if you can picture that. It's difficult to do on a podcast or on radio. But the highs are getting lower, the lows are getting higher. So it's forming like a wedge of cheese or something. And eventually, when it paints itself into a corner, like a rat, it's going to dart out. And it'll either dart out to the upside or the downside. I'm tending to think it's going to be to the upside. What do you think? Because it's $18.36 at the moment, up $18 on the day.
Yeah, no, I think you just described the perfect technical term for going like a Boeing or ready to go like a Boeing. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I've got this, let's call it 1840 as a you know, sort of a resistant level. It did break it, you know, there in November last year, but it was sort of a false break. So it's now broken in again. You know, we're looking at 18.37 currently on the gold price.
Yeah.
This is great news. I mean, this can hold and really properly hold and break through these 1840s. Man, this could be unbelievable. But again, to bring back what we said earlier, you know, if we're talking about currencies and we're talking about inflation rate, you know, inflation of the US being higher than most other countries, then the dollar should be weakening. And for people that like the correlations and the inverse correlations, there's a definite inverse correlation between dollar or dollar strength and gold and the gold price. So in essence, you know, if the view is that the dollar, you know, might not be holding up, people will start piling their money back into the gold price. And yeah, that is clearly evident again today.
It's very, very close to breaking out of that sort of cheese wedge. But anyway, we'll talk about that. In fact, I'll send you something via email after we finish this conversation. Platinum, $49 higher at 10.24. Palladium, can you believe this? It's above 2,000 again. It's $102 higher. 5.3% higher. 5% up for platinum. Gold up 1%. Great for South Africa across the board, mainly with the white metals, but this is good. And if you look at the crude oil price, my goodness me, it is it's off its highs. But if I said to you a year ago, crude oil is off its highs, it's only $88.25 per barrel, up 0.85%, you'd just laugh at me. West Texas, that was the Brent crude brand, by the way, West Texas crude, $86.47 per barrel, up 1.2%. And we've got natural gas down 1.2%, but the energy complex keeps on feeding inflation. And as I said to Wayne McCurry earlier on, I'm looking at a pencil in front of me now, and at the risk of repeating myself, I will. This pencil seems to be quite a nice one. It's made of wood, and wood prices, lumber prices have been up, they've been down, they're going up again now. And so these people make their pencils out of wood. And the manufacturing process for making a pencil requires energy. Energy prices going up. Then they make the pencils, they put them in a box, which requires manufacturing as well. It's paper, so the pulp prices have also been going up. And then they stick it into a lorry, and the lorry has to take it somewhere with petrol which has been skyrocketing. So the price of everything is going up, Skalk. It's not going away.
No, it's not. I mean, that's what we've been saying for months. I mean, the let's call it the word for 2021 was definitely transitory. Hey man, that's just an egg on your face word now, yeah. Because we all know it's not transitory. But I think, you know, let's not harp on you know, the, you know, what's happened in 2021. Let's look forward. I mean, I'm asking myself what's gonna change this. You know, they keep on saying the supply chain blockages, and when that, you know, disappear, then everything will be fine, and we should normalize. you know, I can't see over the shorter term that inflation will be transitory at all. So you just mentioned exactly. I mean, and you can add a few other things, but I'm looking at just the food prices. I'm looking at things like the maize prices, soya beans, wheat prices. I mean, this is a worrying factor because this is a very, very large portion of global inflation, namely food. And this is worrying. But again, I mean, I would definitely say this is also one of the main themes for most of these investment houses is say that, you know, inflation is going to be very much the topic of the first half of 2021.
I think so too. Let's have a look now at the movers on my screen on the JSE Securities Exchange. And there's been some interesting ones. I've mentioned most of them, but I'll reiterate what has gone on today. Amazing move for Kumba Iron Ore. It's had such a good year so far. 9.1% higher at 544 Rand per share, let's call it. African Rainbow Minerals up nearly 6%. Impala Platinum up 5.3%. Richemont up 5% off its highs, but still, we'll take 5% any day of the week. Sibanye-Stillwater up 4.9%. On the downside, Steinhoff down 5.5%. Aspen, after their trading update after the market closed yesterday, reacting badly, down 5.5%. But again, it was down, I think, about 8% at one stage. Capitec, and the reason that's down is because of a BE deal which says will impact their earnings. But anyway, Capitec down 4.2%, Sappi down 3%, Textainer down 2.8%. Any others you've seen, Skulk?
Yeah, two companies also reported, it was in Sense. I mean, the smaller companies, Cape Agri. I mean, this is the first one. They actually announced that they reached a deal to buy an independent fuel retailer, namely PEG, for 1.1 billion. For people that know, you know, who PEG is. Mm. It's PEG was established in 1993, and most of its service stations are on the national highways operated under, you know, Engen, Sasol, Total, BP, and Shell brands. So that's the market really, really liked it. The share price actually, they were up 6.94, just shy of 7% for today. Very and good. For those who also know, you know, the largest shareholder of Cape Agri is Zeder. You know, when you look at the Zeder composition, you know, the sum of the parts of Zeder, you know, 26% of Zeder is made up of Cape Agri. So they loved it as well. Zeder also up, you know, 2% today. And then the other company that also surprised, Pan African Resources. We talked about the gold price. Smaller gold company. I actually like this one. I said it last year and I still say it again. I'm not invested, but I like what they're doing and what's going on there. And as a sort of a, I don't want to call it a junior miner, but that's something I would definitely look at. They brought an operational update for 6 months ended 31st of December. And man, these guys went having Christmas, clearly, because when you look at the group production, they increased their production 9.9% for the half year compared to 2020. You know, that they mined 108,000, just over 108,000 ounces of gold, and market expected 105,000, you know, ounces. So this is great, nice news, especially if you think, you know, gold price currently trading, as we mentioned, 1837. This could be very good for Pan African Resources. Market reacted 4.6%.
Nice.
In the green today. Very nice. Yeah.
Very so good indeed. Doesn't quite make it because the fifth best performer in my screen, Sibanye-Stillwater, but I'm sure it would have got on there. Talking about Cape Agri, when I used to travel from Cape Town to my little cottage in McGregor, which is in the Klein Karoo, I used to stop and fill my car up. And next to the petrol station, of course, I was drawn in by two shops. One was a liquor store, so I used to stock up for my weekend, you know, libations. Next to it was, I think it was a Cape Agri shop that sold everything that farmers need. And I used to buy snake powder to put around the window frames and everything, because you know, where I lived was riddled with snakes, you know, Cape Cobras and so forth. But it was fascinating what they sell. I mean, the difference between if you drive an hour out of Cape Town and go into the countryside, it's a different world, Skulk.
Yeah. No, it's And they're quite active in these little towns. And as you correctly said, I mean, if you haven't stepped into a Kalp Agri shop, I mean, do yourself a favor, go
they're
in
great.
There. You
they're
will
great.
Get pretty much everything, literally everything you'll find inside.
But you'll also, which always struck me, you'll get a very cool pair of shoes for like 250-300 rand, yeah. And you'll go to Spitz at the waterfront and spend 2,500-3,000 on those same shoes. Obviously, there's a quality difference, but essentially they're the same things. I love those shops. I think I'm a frustrated Afrikaner, actually.
Yeah, I don't see you in the Cartier tank anymore. I don't know. I just lost it. I see you in a pair of Cape Agri Fellies. I mean, I do see you now in a pair of those. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
You keep your fantasies to yourself. How are the JSE indices on the close today, please, Skalk?
As mentioned, wonderful day on the JSE. When we look at the JSE All Share, it closed at 76,176 points. That's up 1.63. I'm going to mention the top 40, as I think a lot of the movers and shakers were on that. The JSE top 40 ended the day 69,513. That's 1.8% in the green. What a massive day. Talking about massive day, resources up 3.3%. Industrials up 1.4%. Strangely, but still, financials were down 0.9%, including, if you look at the SA Property Index, also down 90 basis points. When we look at the value traded on the market, again, still picking up. We're still looking at not really reaching that 20 billion value traded, 19.3 billion traded for today. Looking towards the West today, you mentioned it earlier, Dow Jones now gone into the red. I mean, it was positive a few minutes ago, now negative 0.26%. S&P 500 flirting to stay positive, only 3 basis points in the green, and the Nasdaq, which took a mighty clap yesterday, only 0.18% positive. So are we going to see the US ending the day positive? I don't know.
It's churning. 0.7% up this morning, the S&P 500 futures, now flat on the day. The same thing that you've been describing with the Nasdaq and also the Dow Jones. The US 10-year bond yield was very close to 1.90%. Currently just below 1.85. Lots of things going on. We haven't mentioned, or I haven't mentioned Bitcoin, but we have to do it because apparently some people are interested in it. 42,120, which is up 1.25%, was down around about 2% this morning. So markets all over the place, Scott, which is quite fun, I think.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun. And it's this time of the year. So let's just let's just strap on and make sure that we enjoy the ride, because it's going to get fun. It's really going to get fun.
Well, we'll speak tomorrow morning and see how much fun it has been overnight. Skalk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in the Western Cape, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.